Blog Talk Radio.
We don't want a few.
few who hold some handouts here and there. We want all of our rights. There are some people who say that we need to go back to Africa. And then there are some others who tell people in the South, leave the South. You can't be free, so get out. But down in Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia, South Carolina, we'll send you something else. We want all of our We want all of our rights here in Alabama and Mississippi and South Carolina. Then there's a third word, is the word now. We're not willing to wait 100 years for our rights. We're not willing to wait 50 years for what is ours. On the basis of the Constitution of this United States and the authority of Congress. No, we are not willing to wait another 25 years for our rights. We can hear voices telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool off. Our only answer in conversation turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here, and we want all of them not next year, not next week, but we want them now, at this hour. This is what we're saying.
What your life can truly be. Shine and stop for you to see what your life can truly be.
Once again, it's Sunday night, and y'all know what that means. It's the Ethiopian World Federation, Comer Incorporated, the Women's Auxiliary of Local 26, which are beautiful, intelligent, very informative. The messenger herself, Mrs. Sadie Gomez. Let's give a nice hand and welcome her into the studio.
Well, thank you so very much. Don't worry, my wonderful co-host, Dr. Robinson. How's everyone this evening? This is Sadie Gomez, the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, coming to you live and alive on this wonderful Sunday evening, where we get together for all fine conversation and chats. This is where we express ourselves truthfully. You know, we talk about what's going on. We want everybody to know that we are here, we're alive and well. What we do, we remove the things that are normally put under the carpet. We gently remove it. We examine it, and sometimes we put it back, depends on how we feel. But it's your chance to express yourself on a wonderful Sadie Sunday. This is Sadie Gomez for the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, Local 26, Woman Auxiliary. And as I'm always happy to have you on Sunday evenings. You are my wonderful Sunday family. We talk everything, we let everything off our chest, and we feel good about ourselves. So, Dr. Robinson, can you tell me how my studio audience is looking?
They're a little slow tonight, a little slow.
I wonder if it's the weather, because tonight we just want to talk about everything, what girls talk about. We just want to talk.
Everybody should be home tonight out of the rain.
Well, unless they're doing something else, because I know I had some company over as well, so probably people are visiting people's houses. I was just finishing cooking dinner for a friend. A dear sister friend of mine who just left, because she said, I know you're going on radio, I'll probably listen in. But all the same, I know Ola BC and I did talk of something earlier on. Of a video she sent me, and it's something we would like to expound upon, which is really subliminal messages, how it's coming through and how it's affecting us. And there's something, it's radio, but I'm going to send you something on your WhatsApp site so you can see what I'm talking about. And It's only when you see the video, it helps you to understand. Once your mind is open and you see what's going on, you simply cannot erase it from your mind anymore. So this is something we'd love to talk about if Queen Olabisi did come on. And, of course, who else comes on, always appreciated, because there's so much to learn on the Sunday, say the Sunday show, because everybody has something to offer, educational, always uplifting, and we each learn from each other. And we're a big family here because we would miss each other when you all are not here or not around. So we're having a kind of quiet night, Dr. Robinson, you're saying?
Yes.
All right, so maybe we can play some music until we get some more people in.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, let's do it like that.
You want to go to the commercial?
Yeah, we can go into the commercials.
Okay, then.
All right, wonderful.
Yeah! Oh, entertainment. Worldwide. Network. We on live. We in your speakers. And on your mind. Ten o'clock. We on time.
Yes, this is Lenny Williams. I'm out here in Oakland, California.
I'm Lisa Lay. I'm on payment with the NWA, Dr. Dre, and Eazy-E.
It's Just Will, Black Pearl Entertainment artist, newly signed to I Am Jesus Records. You're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., CEO. Coming to you live, this is business, so pay attention.
Yo, it's your boy LV the Slap Fiend, and I'm over here chilling with my guy, The Plug, Don Jr., CEO, Entertainment Worldwide Network Radio. You dig?
What's good, homie? It's your boy, Big D.
It's your folk, Checking Traps.
This your peeps, Captain Mac.
I let your boy, Boss Lena.
It's your boy, Brick Boy Rico.
It's your boy, Joe Dirt.
Hey, yo, what up? It's your boy, Buddha, a.k.a. Buddy Mouse.
Yo, what's good? It's the Vid Percy Jones.
And Big Cell is now in your area.
Yo, this your boy, Mr. Hampton.
It's your girl, Lady Duet.
It's just Rich Gates.
This your bro, JT, Mr. Guaranteed the Rick.
Yo, this your dude, Insane G.
What up? This your boy, Jihad, a.k.a. J Hood.
Yo, this your folks, Young Birds.
Yo, this your folk, GB Cooley.
Yo, this is Mike G Jungle. Hey, what it do? It's your boy, Size Money.
This your boy, Big Chad Domingo.
Bye-bye. Salute the big dog.
This your boy, Jay Futuristic.
This your folk, Lil Raheem. You dig?
I am Geronimo Beals. Off the deep end. Getting blessings. Wise Life Records. And you're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., the CEO, coming to you live.
Hey, what it do? This is Charlie Boy, the Versatile Charlie.
You're listening to the hottest radio station.
Are you ready to be inspired, uplifted, enlightened, and entertained? Judge Joe Brown is an all-American judge, lawyer, and television personality. Judge Joe Brown was raised in the Crenshaw District of Los Angeles, California. Overcoming the harsh streets of L.A., he graduated at the top of his class from Dorsey High School. He then went on to earn his bachelor's degree in political science at UCLA. Judge Joe Brown is a member of the Phi Alpha fraternity and became the first African-American prosecutor in Memphis, Tennessee. He then opened his own practice before becoming a judge on the state criminal court of Shelby County, Tennessee. Judge Joe Brown was then thrusted into the national spotlight for sitting over James Earl's last appeal for Ray's conviction for the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He then caught the attention of producers of Judge Judy and is now the arbiter of his own arbitration-based reality court TV show that has been recorded for over 16 years. This show is syndicated on Bounce and available to millions of homes across America. Judge Joe Brown has been on a mission to educate the leaders of the future and has started a movement titled SAG Pants Equals a SAG Mind. This is a call to action. Let's talk and change the world. Judge Joe Brown is ready to speak at your next event. Follow Judge Joe Brown at Judge Joe Brown TV on Twitter. This message has been brought to you by 2 Deep, owner of KFSM Radio and Bloody Rain Productions, and Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team. Contact 2 Deep at 337-936-5176 or Pastor Don Jr. at 818-358-5722.
The NEO Project is a business network collective of professional CEOs, community leaders, doctors, recording artists, label owners, lawyers, judges, business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major connections across the globe. For more information, visit www.myprojectneo.org or call 800-249-8830. We have a live conference call, Join in the Conversation, hosted by Dr. Rev Robinson Sr. and Dr. Winborn. Share your ideas about growing your business. New ideas, featured partner, video promo, social media, exposure, rotation, profit sharing, meetups at your establishment. Join the conference call on Blog Talk Radio Thursday and Friday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Sunday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Live Talk with Eva. Call 347-857-1311. Press 1 to speak on freeconferencecall.com. Saturday, 12 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Call into 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, hashtag T-Mobile or Boost Mobile, call 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, dial 206-451-6043, then 515-604-9642, access code 910488. Financial consulting and investments, call DSNR Consultants LLC Corporate Office, 914-363-9007. Text 518-866-7605. Email RevRunRobinson, RevRun11 at gmail.com. Shout out to Pastor Don, Jr. CEO, and Keisha Miss, CEO, and the 300 Elite members, also 3 Max and a Nerd, and Andrea's Talent Management.
Fashion is SoSeductiveLive.com. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. SoSeductiveLive has the best apparel from Gucci, Prada, Fendi, Guess, Rolex, Nike, Tiara Michelle, True Religion, Louis Vuitton.
Greetings, I'm Miss K, CEO and founder of SoSeductive Shoes and Fashion. I started my company to keep you informed. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I believe in fashion, so SoSeductive is fun and needs to be seen. I want to inspire people just like you. I want someone to look at me and say, because of you, I didn't give up. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I am Miss K, CEO and founder of SoSeductive Shoes and Fashion. You can find me on your favorite social network at Keisha Miss CEO. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com.
There's a lot to learn in the music business, and without a teacher, it gets even harder and very costly. Introducing the Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint. Don Jr., CEO of the Entertainment Worldwide Network, has put together a detailed book to take your career to the next level in the entertainment business. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint will teach you the do's and don'ts of the entertainment industry, starting from the beginning to the end. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint covers the topics of business plan, logo design, CD design layout, sales, radio airplay, CD marketing strategy, massive emailing, CD sales one sheet, press kit, media kit, online media kit, internet marketing, MP3 online distribution, hip-hop blog sites, hip-hop magazines, hip-hop DVDs, mixtapes, street teams, music publishing and royalties, music lawyers, tour booking, and more. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint is available only by contacting Don Jr., CEO, at 818-358-5722 or email donjrceo@gmail.com.
Do you need more exposure? Do you need more fans? Are you planning to be wealthy and successful in business? The 365 Days of Radio campaign is a business training program teaching you how to build your brand, business, product, or service, how to meet and network with people in other cities, how to make connections with other business owners, and how to talk about your business on an open platform. All the tools you need before you speak to investors, advertisers, and or sponsors. Are you ready to receive money and make it to the next level? Education is the key to success, and experience is the best teacher. Learn from the comfort of your own personal remote location. The 365-day radio campaign is a business training program. For business training, tuition, schedules, and fees, please call Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and the winning team at 818-358-5722. That's right, Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team at 818-358-5722.
Yeah! Oh, entertainment. Entertainment. Worldwide. Worldwide. Network. Network. We on live. We on live. We in your speakers. And on your mind. On your mind. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. We on time. We on time.
live in dangerous times, and you never know when you'll need a lawyer. Introducing Legal Shield. Get legal help 24/7. For over 47 years, people from all walks of life have joined our community and our mission to empower and protect. Wait, there's more! Become a sales associate and watch your commission grow with every sale. We are working together to change the negatives into positives. Business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major corporations all across the globe. We focus on business education, advertising, so that everyone can see the return on their investment. Visit our website at robinsonr38.wearelegalshield.com. Or for more information, contact Dr. Ron Robinson at 914-363-9007 or 203-515-7167 or 914-530-5876. Again, visit us at our website at www.robinsonr38.wearelegalshield.com.
To be honest, this is probably going to be the, and I'm saying this at this table, the most pro-black president that we've had in our lifetime.
So had that asked me, I would have said, you know, before you praise this president for being pro-black, before you praise this president for caring about ethnic communities and marginalized populations, do your homework. Well, some of y'all didn't do your homework. They didn't do their homework. So let me tell you just a little bit of research, not just him personally, but also some of his policies. Perhaps before they went and sat at this table, they should have done their homework. Because if they had done their homework, they would have known that President Trump has ramped up mass incarceration by instructing Attorney General Jeff Sessions to revitalize the war on drugs. They would have known that of the 87 picks for federal judges, 85 have been white and just one has been black and one has been Hispanic. They would have known that President Trump supported the Department of Justice engaging in unlawful voter purges, making it difficult for blacks to go and vote. They would have known that Trump is ending protection for predatory lenders, which disproportionately harm black people. They would have known that he is ignoring the affordable housing crisis by ordering HUD to triple the rents of poor tenants in public housing, which mostly affect black people. Do your homework. They would have known that he is proposing cutting $200 billion over the next 10 years from supplemental nutrition assistance programs that will bring more hunger in black and brown communities. They would have known that Trump is worsening the health of black communities through environmental deregulation, which disproportionately harms black people through exposure to pollution. Now, that's just a few on the policy side, but you don't have to go too far to ask what about him personally would make me know that he is not pro-black. I'm glad you asked, because in 1970, Trump's real estate company tried to avoid renting apartments to black tenants and gave preferential treatment to white tenants. He began his 2016 presidential campaign with a speech disparaging Mexican immigrants as criminals and rapists. Y'all remember that? In 2016, he said, of people of color, you are living in poverty, your schools are no good, you have no jobs. Hold on, I'm a product of a HBCU, and I'm a product of black school systems and black teachers. Don't you ever tell me that my black schools are... Hold on, I ain't done. He says you have no jobs, so what do you have to lose from electing me? In 2017, Trump said 15,000 recent immigrants from Haiti all have AIDS, and 40,000 Nigerians once seeing the United States would want to go back to their huts in Africa. He spent years suggesting that the nation's first black president was not a citizen of these United States. He called Puerto Ricans, whose criticized his administration's response to Hurricane Maria, he called them politically motivated ingrates. Hold on, but he called those who marched beside white supremacists in Charlottesville, Virginia, he called them very fine people. He hired Steve Bannon, a white nationalist, as his chief strategist. He called Haiti and other African nations asshole countries, and he's taking credit for an economy that has not been built on on his administration, but was built on the backs of 8 years of hard work under the Obama administration. Negroes, please, don't you come up in here talking about this is the most pro-black president that you have ever seen when the record suggests that he cares nothing about people of color.
You have a guest here. Let him in there. Give him a nice hand. The brother from the other show, very, very informative. Always got information. Always have something wonderful to offer. We're gonna get our group here together. We have our little fan club here. We have the man himself from Saturday night, 7 o'clock. Y'all know who it is. It is Dr. Benjamin Bridges from Experiencing Spiritual Unity and Meditation, and he always have wonderful things to say, things to offer. Let's give him a nice hand and welcome him to the studio.
Yes, sir, my brother. Glad to be able to make it on the show. And, that was some interesting yelling that the brother was doing on good old Tumpity Dumpity. He was definitely somebody that was coming off from a racial perspective against our people. But the thing that blows my mind with him is that we got black people that are very loyal for him. And I've even heard them say on radio shows and stuff that they felt that Trump was one of the best white presidents for black people. And I was like, what? Because he even said about black people on the radio, this is not on radio, this is on a television program on a news channel. And he said that, black people are shithole people from shithole countries. And I said, what? This guy's going to come on the news and say something like that in front of a camera so everybody can see him saying something racist like that? And he was also saying that Hispanic people were, all of them were, rapists and murderers. And I was like, what? This guy is really a serious racist. But then a lot of people, the other side of it, a lot of people don't even know his background and his family background, because he was born into a Ku Klux Klan family. And when you're born into a Ku Klux Klan family, once in a while you find a person that says, nah, man, my father and mother, they was all into this racism against blacks and Hispanics and all that. I ain't home with that. But he wasn't saying that. He was 100% with it. And that was one of the reasons why, like the guy had mentioned, that was in Brooklyn, I believe, where he had that apartment building. Him and his father owned it. And basically they wouldn't even allow black people to rent out one apartment in there, And that was crazy, too. So, Trump is, there's no question about the fact that he's a stone-cold racist against our people. But it's just really something that really surprised me that, some of our people are really feeling that Trump would be a good president if he came into play and would really help our people. I'm like, wow. people must be drinking a lot of alcohol or taking a lot of drugs to be feeling like that. But anyway, Trump is definitely a racist president in the past. And if he ever gets into play again, he was one of the people in some of the southern states that put up brick walls that made it very difficult for black people to even vote. So he stripped away some of our so-called equal rights that we have. And in certain states, black people are having a very hard time to be able to vote for, different political situations that are going on. So these are some things that, our people, I don't know how they can overlook it or not even be aware of it with him, that he has really stepped up to the plate as a racist dog against our people. And it's really a shame to see that that's where he's from, but that is where he's at. But, I think what has happened, maybe those black folks that have come on radio stations and spoke about Trump being, one of the best white presidents that, we've ever experienced, I wouldn't be surprised if Trump had paid them to say something like that, because I don't know how in the heck they could overlook all the racist things that he had done. And even one thing that was really surprising, too, was in Central Park in Manhattan, there was a white woman that was raped, and they said she really wasn't raped. It was a whole other scenario there that really happened. But anyway, she had claimed that these three guys that were playing, you know, football in the Central Park area, they had a football and they were throwing it at each other and all of that, just playing. And she claimed that they, you know, took her to the side behind some bushes and raped her and stuff, you know. And the funny thing about it was that, you know, unfortunately, they did spend some time in jail behind that, and because she had claimed that that's what they did to her. But then there was some witnesses that came forth and said that they know that, that those kids never did that to her because they were, you know, watching them while they were in the park, and they never took her into behind no bushes and did nothing to, like that to her. Anyway, they ended up getting out of jail behind that, you know, and the good thing about it was that they were set free, and because that was a false, you know, thing that was done to them, I think they walked away with $5 or $8 million, which was good. And there was, like I said, there was three of them that was there, so they split that money amongst them, which was good because at least they walked away with something out of it. But the funny thing about it was when they were getting ready to be placed in jail, Trump said, no, these guys should not be placed in jail. They should literally be all be persecuted, you know, where they're going to be put to death instead of being placed in jail. And I said, what? You know, this guy is really something, because normally if you rape a woman, you know, then you're going to do jail time. But he didn't want them to do jail time. He wanted them to be murdered. And that was really something. And then when they found out about that with him, that he actually was wrong, because they found out that they didn't commit that, instead of coming back and apologizing, he never even did that for them, you know. So he has always been, unfortunately, a racist president. But the bottom line is that, you know, some of our people, I believe, have gotten paid to say he's the best white president that we've ever experienced. Yeah, the best racist president, you know, that we've ever experienced. I don't know about best in regards to helping us, but best to be against us. But anyway, that's one thing I just wanted to comment on, because Trump was really something else, man. There's no question about that. And our people need to wake up to that, and hopefully they're not dealing with that. Because I even had been on a radio show with a brother that was talking about, you know, his reelection at that time. And it was really interesting because there was a brother that – had gotten into some kind of real estate development program that they had hooked him up with. And he was, you know, speaking all this positive stuff about Trump. And when I mentioned some of the things that I just talked about, he was saying, oh, no, Trump would never do that. He's a really guy, a nice guy, and he loves black people, and he wants to help us, you know. I was like, what? You know, I couldn't even believe he was coming off like that. But sometimes you do run into people that, you know, are really for, you know, political people that are against us. And I'm from our community, and I'm really surprised to see that. But that's why they call it politics, you know, because a lot of people will tell you that they're going to do some really great and wonderful things for you if you put them in office. And then once you get them in there, they don't hardly do nothing for you. And that's the same way it was with good old Biden. Because Biden was talking about, you know, he was even considering dealing with the monies that we were supposed to get, you know, the reparation money. And he was talking about the fact that, you know, he was looking into it and he was going to see how much money he could get us and all of this. And I was like, wow, looks like, you know, he's really going to give us some money this time. This is the first president that came up with the fact that you know, reparation money, we should be able to get that. And I was like, wow, that sounds great. But then when the time came for him to do that, he just disappeared on that subject and never came back and spoke on that again. And I was really surprised to see that. And even his vice president, I thought she was going to say something about it, but she never said anything about it either. But anyway, that's where you are when you're dealing with, unfortunately, with politics. A lot of it is really what you call politics, and people are trying to trick you into voting for them and telling you that they're really going to look out for you and help you. But once you get them into office, you know, a lot of times they don't do anything to help you. And that's how politics, the game of politics, you know, works. But we just need to awaken to the fact that we need to see what we can do, you know, for ourselves as well, and see how we can try to bring about some great and wonderful things for us to do instead of always being on bended knee begging to Master Charlie for some help and then wondering why we don't get no help from him, you know, or sometimes he might throw a crumb or two to us, and then, you know, you got 50 million people trying to eat one crumb, and that ain't going to work. You know, that's crazy. But that's the situation we've experienced by being in this country. But the problem is we haven't really stepped up to the plate and tried to see what we can do to help ourselves by coming together in unity. And that's very important, because if we come together in unity and start looking at helping one another instead of begging them for money and begging them for help all the time, and then we wonder why we're not getting the help that we need. Because I don't know if you guys know of a guy by the name of Ed Hull. He had a community center in Yonkers, and his brother came up with a brilliant idea. He came up with an online business opportunity, and he was helping to get the youth off the street by getting them involved into that program at his community center in Yonkers. And he was also helping the adults as well. And he was starting to get a nice number of people that were getting into it, and he was really helping a lot of people coming out of the chains of poverty and starting to make some good money. But what ended up happening, the people in Yonkers, the congressmen, the federals, and the state people ended up telling him, in the city as well, city of Yonkers, they told him, sorry, man, you know, we're having some serious financial problems right now. And because we are, I'm just sorry to tell you, but we're going to have to shut down your community center. And he said, what? He said, yeah, I'm sorry, man. I mean, and we're also going to shut down some of the white community centers too, because we just don't have enough money right now. We're really struggling right now, you know, financially. And, you know, sorry to share that with you, but that's what we're going to do. So anyway, a week later, what ended up happening with that, he ended up going to the community center meeting for all the different centers in Yonkers. And because they told him they were going to shut down some of the white centers too, he said, okay, you know, I heard about, you know, this crazy thing about the financial problem they're having right now in the United States, and it's really having a huge impact in Yonkers here, and they shut down my community center. So they told me that, you know, they were definitely going to be shutting down some of your community centers too. So how many of your community centers were shut down? And all of them were looking at each other saying, what are you talking about? We never got no call from none of, you know, federal or state or, you know, city person that told us that our community centers were going to be shut down. No, everything is going well with us. And that's when, you know, Ed just said, forget it, man. Yonkers is really a racist dog city. And he left and he went down south. And I couldn't blame him on that, because, you know, when you have a good program that's really helping your people in your community, and then that city says, what? These guys are really coming out of poverty and they're starting to become empowered financially, and they're really helping the youth get off the streets, and they're also helping adults too. We're definitely closing this place down. We're closing this community center. And that's what they ended up doing. But they never closed down and kept their word on closing down the community centers, the white community centers in Yonkers. And that was something to show you that they did not really want to see the empowerment and the helping of a successful program for our people. And I still, you know, salute my brother, Ed Hull, that had that program going on, because it did hit a home run with helping a lot of people. But the problem was they didn't want that program to be able to explode with success in Yonkers and help, you know, hundreds and thousands of black people that lived in that community. And because that was the case, you know, that's the reason why they shut it down. But anyway, that's what you call the game of politics, because you think that these people are for us and want to help us. But then when you do find success coming through, that's when, you know, a lot of times they will definitely find different ways to shut down our successful programs. Whether you're talking about Black Wall Street, whether you're talking about, you know, other programs that we've had in the past. But now what we need to do is come together as a community to help one another. And when we come together from a positive standpoint, instead of sitting into that negative standpoint of wanting to, you know, argue with each other, wanting to hate each other, wanting to kill and destroy each other's lives, all you're doing is destroying not just that relationship with those individuals that you're talking to, but you're also destroying your community. We need to come out of that negative mindset and start to see things from a positive perspective. And once we start to do that, then we'll be able to really be a blessing to our people. And we can definitely help our people out. But the only problem is, you know, you have to have enough love and respect for one another in your heart and mind that you desire to reach out to help one another. But if your mind and heart is filled with self-hatred and anger towards one another, then that's a whole nother story. But that's where the brainwashing has come in for our people, to want them to feel that way and to want our kids to want to kill each other with these gang wars and everything, and to want our adults not to even want to help each other or work with each other. And these are things that we need to definitely strip away and totally erase out of our community. So now what we need to do is reawaken ourselves from being stuck in that negative mindset of not wanting to help each other or wanting to be a blessing to one another. But one of the things I found out, right now I'm in South Carolina, and I was really surprised because I spoke to three different churches, and out of the three, only one church, you know, was willing to work with me. And when we were talking about doing a prayer session to stop the violence and everything in our communities, and, you know, there was two of them that said that they would do it, but one of them only came through. And even with that one, we're dealing with it on a very limited basis. But the point that I'm trying to make is that, you know, we do not really come together like we used to, you know, as a people. Because so many times our people just say, so what? Why don't we care about those guys? They're going to be crazy enough to be stuck in poverty or be trying to kill each other. Let them go ahead and go. And that's not the attitude we should have. It should be just the opposite, where we're saying, hey, we need to be seeing what we can do to help one another, to truly be good brothers and good sisters, to help each other out and try to uplift one another out of the negative situations we see some of our people suffering in. And when we can come together and try to do those kind of things, that's when we can really start to see a new black community come together in unity to bring about some very positive and wonderful blessings for our people. So these are some things that we need to really think about and start to focus on. And once we start to deal with that from that perspective, then we're going to start to see some great things come about. So I just wanted to share that with you guys that, yeah, Trumpity Dumpity definitely wasn't for our people. It definitely wasn't. And even though you can sometimes hear different black spokesmen speak about the fact that he's one of the best white presidents that we ever had, you know, that's a lie. But the other side of it is we do need to come together to work on us supporting one another and helping one another. And that's the best way that we can get, you know, good results for us to help one another in our community and bring about positive change in our community. Because when you are totally relying on them, like Ed Hull did, he had a great program, but all the money that he had for his staff, to keep that community center up and running and everything was coming from them. And when they saw that he actually hit a home run with his program and was really helping a lot of his people, that's when they shut it down in Yonkers. But that all comes from us being totally dependent on them. We don't need to be totally dependent on them. And one of the things that we discussed before was that $1.8 trillion, we as a people, 50 million people here in this country, that's what we spent on buying products and dealing with different services that we need, whether it was dealing with a real estate broker, a lawyer, an engineer, or, you know, a appraiser or contractor, you know, a number of different, you know, services that people that are in business offer, you know. But the thing about it was, out of that $1.8 trillion, 97% of that money was spent with white companies, with Asian companies, and Hispanic companies. And only 3% of that money was spent amongst our own people. So that shows you that we as a people are not focused on helping one another like we could be and should be. But that's the thing. We need to spend more money into trying to empower our businesses and our community by spending more money with that. But we were even saying, and one of the brothers was saying that even if we just got as low as 30% or even went up as high as 50% of that $1.8 trillion of us investing or buying different black products, investing in, you know, doing services with black businesses, if we got 30% of that, you know, that we spent, you know, amongst our people, we would be bringing billions, hundreds of billions of dollars into our community, and that would really change our community. Of course, if we did 100% of it or 80 or 90%, forget it. You know, we definitely would be up there, you know, where we would be, you know, having, you know, huge amounts of money coming back into our community. But even on the low end, even if it was just 30% that our people would spend, and I'm not saying that you can't any longer spend money with white businesses or products, or you can't deal with Asians or Hispanics, but you can't leave your people out of the picture. And that's something that we can't afford to do, because as consumers, you know, all we're talking about is buying products and services that we normally do every year anyway. So we're not saying, okay, you got to, you know, save up about, you know, $100,000 or $50,000 or $20,000 and invest that into the black community. We're not even talking about that. We're just talking about you spending money that you normally spend, but now you need to focus on spending a good portion of that money in our community. And when you start to do it from that perspective, us helping one another, having enough respect to want to deal with helping each other, that is a good thing. So all I can say is these are things that we can do. And also the other financial piece is for us to come together in unity and focus on different opportunities that are out here that we can invest in and deal with together as groups, and see what we can do to help our community as well. So once again, coming together in unity can definitely be a serious blessing to our community. And one of the things, the last piece of this that I wanted to mention, is we need to also look at this from a spiritual perspective, because if we can come together and pray together, fast together, do meditation together, we can come together spiritually to focus on turning the negativity that's in our community totally around, that's when we're going to also see a lot of that negativity totally being erased and replaced from our community. So anyway, these are some things that we definitely need to do, and we'll start to see some great and wonderful things start coming through.
Thank you, and we have with us as well the queen herself. Queen Olabisi is on tonight. Give a nice hand and bring her in.
Greetings. Greetings, Queen. Welcome.
Greetings. Peace and blessings.
Are you with us, Queen? We can't hear you. Come into room.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
That soon as you alter the position of the phone, it goes immediately into hold.
That would be that earpiece you're talking about.
No, it's not, but it's actually just automatically just. So I was listening to the last caller regarding, you know, fasting together, praying together, and, you know, kind of coming of like mind. I think prior to even fasting together and praying together, we have to already be of like mind, because that is what will facilitate the fasting, the praying, and, you know, whatever else necessary that has to be done. But it's not easy to always find like minds. I think the whole idea of what constitutes money and what constitutes good philanthropy has been skewed somewhat. And the truth is, we have a lot of people that want the idea of money more so to, let's put it this way, to show off. They're into the idea of money not from a perspective of raising ourselves as a people, but raising themselves as an individual. And the idea of raising themselves as an individual is mainly to show off. They drive this kind of car, or they live in this type of house, or they have this type of jewelry. And that is not helping the collective. So until we find a way to resolve our feelings of inferiority when we don't drive that fancy car, or we don't have that fancy dress or shoe or jewelry, until we address those feelings of insecurity, where you could put on a garbage bag, because I tell people I could make a garbage bag look good, because it's not about what I have on, it's me. So me being in a garbage bag is no different from me being in a Ralph Lauren dress. And that's where we have to start working on ourselves to put those things that hold us back into subjection. And when we're able to do that, then we can join with others, because we realize it's not just about you. It's not just about me. And I'm not saying that somebody needs to be looking shabby. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that, you know, we don't have to drive a Benz. We don't have to drive a BMW. We don't have to have, you know, all these various fancy things that we think are necessary. What we have to learn is to be real. And I think that is of greater importance, how to be real, how to be significant in and of ourselves, how to like ourselves enough. Those are the main things that will help us along the way in our quest to assist in the upward mobility of all people.
I
Well said and spoken, Queen. I didn't want to interrupt you because I was really enjoying the direction in which you were heading. And as you said, we listened to the caller before. I listened to the coming together and that union, that unity, that wanting of that dream come true. But I like the fact that you point out, unless we are those of like minds, the coming together will be very, very difficult, or rather impossible. So first we have to secure the fact that we are like-minded individuals with an agenda of the green nature.
Yes. That is extremely, extremely important. It is extremely important because you know, a lot of times you hear people talk about situations that unfold and they are disappointed because they were under the impression that this person was on the same path as they were. And you can hear the disappointment, but the truth is this person was on a similar path that was geared towards money. Or having more money. And having more money does not necessarily mean that somebody is striving to have any type of community outreach, or that person is not necessarily striving to have goals that included a change trajectory. You know, we are hated, as Franz Fanon said, we are the wretched of the earth. Some people just don't want to be among the wretched of the earth, even though they might be of similar hue. But in terms of working towards lifting, you know, from community to lifting from family level up to communities and stuff, that is where we have to start examining people. You know, you are asked, you ask many times when people are asked, well, if you should win this $1 million, or if you should win this so much and so much money, what would you do? And you will be surprised to hear some of the things people would do. And half of the time, it does not include anything that helps the community. It mostly, more times than not, it's limited to, you know, fancy cars and houses and stuff like that. So what do we do when we realize that that's the situation? We are the ones now to understand that this person doesn't have the same goal. This person is looking out for him or herself. And sometimes when people are, I don't want to use the word impoverished, but people who may not have had access to much growing up, you find that those people have a hard time when they are finally coming to some money. A lot of those people have a hard time distributing that money or allocating that money for anything other than their fantasies that they would have had when they were poor.
Dr. Robinson?
No, I'm just saying, I'm jealous of you. You have all the good people here tonight, all the kings and the queens. They're all here on hold. You got Queen Enigma on here as well. Let's welcome her in.
All right. So we will let some people in, and we want to welcome them to the Sadie Sunday Show, the wonderful Local 26 of the Ethiopian World Federation. We welcome each and everyone tonight for a wonderful conversation. We just had the Queen of South Olabisi speaking. She'll be right back with us. And we have a few others to join us in our conversation. So, Dr. Robinson, you do the honors, please. Thank you so very much.
Let's join in Carol, Sister Queen Enigma. Let's give her a nice hand.
I want to say thank you, Sister Sadie and Reverend Ron, for your prayers and, you know, want me to heal. So this is left eye.
Wonderful, welcome.
I just see out of one eye, and it's working on, God's working on the other eye. So don't worry about it. I understand that, you know, all the queens and kings are on the show, and it's such a pleasure to talk to you, sis. And I wanted to say we're going to miss Mr. Roundtree, Richard Roundtree, actor that has been a role model to me from the days of the 60s and 70s and 80s up until the year 2000 and change, and a few others who we're going to miss, and the, you know, what I call the four, because it used to be Mr. Richard Roundtree and Fred Williamson and a famous black man who was in the arts, and a few others who used to go to Africa and represent us very well. So I want to say thank you, and God bless him, and may his trip to seeing the Lord be a good one, and hope to see him soon. I'm sorry about Nigeria and all the things that are happening over there, and I'm so sorry about Jamaica and all the children who are in need of a home, and it's just so terrible that our country, people of color, won't pull together and unite so we can help our children in different countries. I'm just praying that we not be so selfish. As the sister was saying, that it's really not important to have that Cadillac, but see, we are fighting forces that, you know, when you have money, they want to be recognized and they want to be acknowledged at the expense of whatever it takes to get that car or that house, because that's what they're showing and that's what the world is trying to project. They're not talking about growing food and, you know, helping the farmers out. People are buying up land and trying to do the best they can for those who are homeless and hungry. And then there's those who want to complete their dream and do what they have to do. I have to give one brother a compliment. I don't know his name, but he's in the sports, and he's an African. This man has not spent any of his earnings on him. He does what's necessary for his country. And the reason why I say that, because a news reporter had spoken to him just about something simple as a cell phone, and they had asked him why he did not want to buy a new cell phone because his glass was cracked and everything. He said the cell phone still works, and it's not the important. I have people in my country who are hungry and sleeping in the street, and that's what's the priority to me. He said that the priority is to help my people get on their feet. And I was so proud of this young man, and there's so many other young people rising up to take care of their people and their children and other people's children who are hungry and starving and sleeping in the streets of Africa. That I'm hoping that we do the same in America, and even though we may not be treated like others because we don't have a country, but I don't see this country as mine, but I hope as a people and as a human race we come together and talk about how Jesus died for us and read the word and not listen to all the preachers and want to be part of all the fly churches and drop names. Just know the word for yourself so you could pass it on to someone who's in need, because God does heal, and he is alive, and he's paying close attention. So I love you all, and I thank you all, and I hope and pray that we help each other and pray for each other, and you know, try to recognize that material things are not, they don't save you. Money don't save you. They don't help you heal. They don't wake you up the next day. You know, they don't feed you. It just doesn't do too much for you, your soul. But when you wake up in the morning, you know who wakes you up. When you get that first bit of food, you know who helped you get it. And I just hope everyone does.
Wonderful, yeah, wonderful, sister, so wonderful to hear your voice and to know that you're with us. You called us to share this wonderful Sunday evening with us. It's always a pleasure, sister. And, of course, we'll continue to keep you in our prayers because we want you to be around with your sunshine.
I'm always there for you, sis. You know that. You're the sweetest thing.
And many big kisses and virtual hugs to you as well. So
yeah,
thank you so much. And, of course, keep on listening as we bring in the others who are here with us to share in our conversation.
Yes, ma'am.
We're going to bring in King R.A.R., Ronald Lay, King Ronald Lay. Give him a nice hand. Bring him in.
Yes, good evening. Good evening, my brothers and sisters. I love you all. I love you all. And I've been called a lot of things besides King, but I accept that. But when I was a child, I thought as a child, and I did childish things. But now that I'm a grown man, or you in the Bible it's pedion, we, us, and technon. You know, the infant, the teenager, and then the grown man. But if you train up a child in the way they should go, they shall never depart from it. And all those things coming together, you know, is about family, is about development, you know, is about caring, is about the village raising people who are raising a village, you know, and so on. I just came from a wake with from a brother. My brother's mother had passed in Nigeria, and so I went there and supported him and shared with him. And there's things there are people that he's introduced me to over the 25 years. Some of them I haven't seen, you know, in 10, 15 years. And lately, because of the situation, I've been talking to them, and, you know, from South Africa, from Tanzania, you know, from Nigeria, you know, Ghana, and so on. So when I went to this function and people recognize me and notice me, you know, and so on. I'm there to recognize my brother's mother, I would talk to her on the phone sometime, you know, in Nigeria, and we would talk even when, you know, he wasn't on the phone. I said, I called your mother today, you know, I proposed to her again. You know, what's up with what, your mother don't want to marry me? She don't care. And she said, his mother comes back and she says, oh, I'm too old. You know, I said, you definitely need a young man. And she was 85. She was 85. And, but with that group of people who I've known for a while and then missed, I felt that I was home. I knew I was home. And with his brother and cousins and so on, which they were not that close, they all knew about me and how I helped him, you know, help my friend Nelson. I didn't consider any of that help. I was considering it that I'm taking care of my brother. You know, I'm not asking for anything, you know, anything else like that. But as we are young, as we grow up, and especially in this country, all right, we see all kinds of things that we say, well, if you need this, you need that, you know, if you want to be this, you need this and need that, and I want to buy the Jordans and all this to be up front and what have you. And meanwhile, you know, some of the mothers and fathers, and mothers mainly, you know, can't afford food, but their kids are coming out of the house dressed in $500 worth of clothes that doesn't feed them. And some, you know, get attacked, you know, or, you know, and so on because they have this, you know, and if you don't have it, you know, you get bullied. Well, why are you wearing this or wearing that? You know, and so I'm looking at all of this, and I'm hoping and praying that the foundation of these, I say children, because at this time, you know, like I'm saying, almost everybody's my child. Not almost, but they are my children. And saying that, you know, train up a child in the way it should go. Foundation, you know, having them look at things differently. Communication with other people, you know, with all people, no matter where we're from, you know. And those things are important for the growth of the village. You know, and like my sister, my twin sister with the left eye, because I only got a left eye too, you know, said, you know, listen.
I don't know if y'all are coming back, but if you do.
You know, they're coming back. It's coming back, and I enjoy seeing the young kids talking about family, you know, talking about marriage and getting that and raising families and stuff. So I don't believe everything that I see what's on the news, which is they usually promote negative, but there's so much positive out there. And I am so excited and elated to see what our young people are doing. You will never get all. You will never get all. But those that you can bring in, or those that were raised well, or those who have seen the light, you know, whether sleeping on subways at one point, homeless, no mother or no father, and they're succeeding, and they're raising families because they didn't have a family, I praise them. I pray for them, you know, every day. We will never have all. Never. You know, but for what we have, we should, you know, praise God and give him thanks and support these young brothers and sisters. You know, when you have a 2-year-old that's a mathematician at 2, or 11-year-old who is a millionaire already, you know, at 11, and these white people are picking them up, you know, and I don't know how much they know about themselves or their families teaching them about themselves and history, but these white people are picking them up, picking their brains, maybe stealing from them, you know, or using, you know, as they always have.
Right now and showing all, you know, that's all right. God gonna give it back to me, and then
you know, and so on. So it's a pleasure. But my sister, I'm with you. I'm your twin. I can't see out of one eye, my right eye, but my left eye is really good, and I praise God for that. God bless you. Love you all.
We love you too. You know, it's a one big happy family on Sundays. We know it's a big love fest. As we bring in all the others, we know we hope that you'll see much better, both of you all.
We have our Ken Terrence Ruffin. We're going to give a nice hand and bring him in as well. Come on now, people. Oh, what happened?
Hello. I came in late, so I ain't got the vibe of what's going on tonight, but I'm sure y'all got it going and got a good subject going. But I don't have much on my mind. We just keep our eyes on the prize and make sure that we got our hand in the right hand. That's the Almighty.
Because you sexy and educated doesn't mean you should take advantage of
them. I can't hear you. But I don't have that much to say. I just listen it out, and we'll do better next time.
Okay, but well, we certainly welcome you to the show because we truly enjoy you when you come on a Sunday evening. So we are having quite a lot. All the stars are out tonight. We are talking about the brotherhood and how we need to come together, but not just for the ego, but to come together knowing that the very existence and survival of the black race is of the unity, especially in such a crucial time where now we are seeing how things are shaping up upon the earth. We are seeing even if there should be a time of famine, let's just safe to say, and the stores are closed, you know, who are going to sell to the blacks? Do we have enough groceries and storehouses to supply ourselves? Do we even have enough water? So we are coming to a crucial time where we are looking in advance. We're not saying we want it to happen tomorrow for Christmas. We're certainly not ready. But we want to put our focus, and we want to have like-minded individuals with a certain agenda, which is not of their ego, that can come together to have a successful unity in uplifting the black race. So we have Open Sunday. We have many things, as we say, Sadie Sundays. It's the Women Auxiliary, the Ethiopian World Federation, Local 26, where we express all things that are on our mind. Most of all, we come here, we talk the truth, we examine things that are normally hidden under the rug, we take it out, we examine it. But here we just deal with the truth and what is on our mind. We share, and of course, each one teaches one. So we love to bring in the other callers because it's also your show,
okay,
my wonderful studio audience. We welcome you.
We're going to put in King Pastor Don Jr., the CEO. Give him a nice hand. Bring him in. Go ahead here. Come on, y'all. Pastor Don, your mic is open. Then you can go ahead. All mics are open.
I'm going to miss you.
All mics are open.
I just wanted to interject for the benefit of my sister, who spoke earlier. The gentleman with the cell phone, his name is Sadio Mendes, and he's from Senegal.
Well, we thank you for the piece of information for the young man. We have this information for those who came in late so we could, they can learn about who this young man was. Are we having technical?
I don't know what's the problem. But somebody's having an echo.
Yeah, I'm having it.
I don't know why. You know, thank you, me. It's got me open. It ain't coming from my side. Is it?
Okay, next time I'll just speak to
him. No, I don't think so. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's me.
Okay, I'll go. Hello?
Yes, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's Ron Robinson. Your technology. And somehow I'm getting
yes, I'm muted. I'm muted.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm muted. There's nothing.
Hello?
Hello?
I don't know what that is. It's still going.
I hear you, man. Everything.
Okay.
I hear.
So, Sister Sadie.
Yes, we have an echo.
Yeah, it's an echo, whatever it is. I don't know what that's all about.
I don't know what's going on. That's very commercial from this.
Interesting. But you can go ahead.
I'm listening right now, but I'm hearing an echo.
Okay. All right. So I just wanted to say that.
So let's build some of the shit and see if it takes him back on.
I don't think there's nothing we can do.
You also.
Yeah, because you're getting echo as well. I don't understand what that is.
It's not made for this people. So can we play music for a few minutes and get back in
time? Say that again.
So we still have more than half an hour. Play some music for about 3 minutes. See, that will change anything.
I don't know if that's going to change the condition, but okay, no problem.
And there's clearly a technical difficulty. Oh, wonderful. Listeners, we are experiencing a technical
The Ten Commandments of Man, given to a man through the inspiration of I, Prince Buster. One, thou shalt have no other man but me. Two, thou shalt not encourage no man to make love to you, neither kiss nor caress you, for I am your man. A very jealous man, and is ready to lay low any other man that may intrude in our love. 3. Remember to kiss and caress me, honor and obey me in my every woman fancy, 7 days a week and twice on Sundays, cause at no time will I ever be tired of IT hit. Honor my name so that every other woman may honor it also. 5. Thou shalt not provoke me to anger, or my wrath will descend upon you heavily. Walking with another woman, but wait intelligently until I come home, then we both can have it out decently. For I'm your man, a funny man, and detest the scandal in public places. Commandment 8, thou shalt not drink nor smoke or use profane language, for those bad habits I will not stand for. 9. Thou shalt not commit adultery, for the world will not hold me guilty if I commit murder. 10.
shalt not covet thy neighbor's dress, nor her shoes, or her peru, nor her bed, nor her hat, nor anything that serves. Neither shalt thou call my attention to anything that may be for sale in any stores, for I will not give thee anything but what you actually need for your purpose. Those are the Ten Commandments of man, given to woman by me, Buster.
And we are back.
We are back. This is Sadie Sunday for the Women's Auxiliary, Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated Representative. Coming to you live. We are still having small technical difficulties. We are having an echo going on. That's why I was not a student.
Hold on. Okay. Say something else.
Well, we seem to have come back. It seems quite normal right now. It doesn't seem to be echoing at this point.
Okay.
This is very good news.
All right.
But somehow for a little while we had technical difficulties. The voices were coming and having an echo of background noises. It seemed
it's
to happen.
Now.
It's very, very
so
clear
everyone,
right now.
Everyone can, every other who was not can call back in now. Everybody can call back in.
Yes, they sure can, because we still have half an hour to go. Interesting conversation. But we know we were heading in all directions of unity, but understanding, of course, those of us who have the desire to unify also understand the difficulty in which it takes to do so. But there are certain clear facts that must be observed, as one caller stated. We must have like-minded individuals with the same agenda minus the ego, and that's quite a place to arrive. In order to help and give of yourself, you have to put away yourself because you're now thinking of the masses. When you say, my people, we are understanding the fact that my people is indeed my brothers and my sisters. My aunts, my uncles are my parents also. My teachers are my parents. The neighbors are my parents. As it is once said, it takes a whole village. It really do. It takes a whole village to raise one child. This is the love and attention that is needed to raise an individual that is constructive and productive upon this land. So much less of people. It will take great strength, but mostly love. Love unconditionally, whereby you're knowing whatever you're doing and creating is for the betterment of a nation, of a people. Self will benefit in the long run, but the fact that you have put away self in the full understanding, overstanding, and understanding of what it really is, when we say, my people, we have to love them, each one, as we would love ourselves. And we're taught that is the love. We have to love our brother as we would love ourselves. And with that is the step forward to the solution of many of our problems. Our problems have arrived mainly through selfishness. Selfishness We are in the struggle, and we say one love. And then the one love turn into one set of grievance because one has been able to rise above one and feel a sense of importance and the gratitude of being in the impoverished stage would have then left the individual. So we often see self in its various stages whereby wealth or the lack of impoverishedness changes an individual. So one individual who was set on the struggle with the one love and the everything and promises that he or she would have made at that time when things were hard, as we would say it in common layman terms, that very same individual, let's just say for lack of a better word, a blessing was poured upon him. In less than 24 hours, he becomes somebody else. So here goes the agenda. Here goes the struggle. Here goes the very reason why coming together became so difficult. Is this written somewhere where this was purposely done? We are not sure. Sometimes we wonder if it's a force greater than us that is creating such chaos within our time. But for those who could lead, because not everyone were born leaders, and leaders are born, have to come to a conclusion and an understanding, an overstanding and a standing, that certain things that we need to put forward within the agenda could only be done in a certain way. Remember my great aunt, Harriet. Harriet, you know how we love you, Harriet, because if you had told that story to too many people, we would not have been able to move any of those trains from point A to point B. And that Underground Railroad story would not have been told all now. We wouldn't have been sitting here talking this whole story on this Sunday evening. But we thank you, Harriet, because you understood what leadership meant. Leadership has a burden. So therefore, before we can think of any sort of change or any sort of mobility within, we understand our leaders. Who are our leaders? And should we select one, we know it takes a certain characteristic of a person to be called a leader, to function he or she, because both male or female can be very strong leaders depending on the role in which they are chosen or born for. So leaders come in packages and they were selected by the Almighty himself, I would imagine. Sometimes in even short packages, we have great leaders. We talk about King Haile Selassie I. We see such a package. We talk of great men like Dr. Eric Williams. It was no 6 feet nothing, but great and powerful men that led great in their times for many years. You know, we talk of our brother Fidel Castro and some of our great Kwame Ture, but I don't want to think I'm going to do history tonight if I start. But we talk of leadership because for that element of change, which has been projected, it takes great thought because change within careless hands is like zeroed out knowledge. We are structuring ourselves as a people to effect change with great leadership. This, we don't need 20 years to dance around the fire to imagine, because the time is very short. We need to understand the Exodus movement of Jah people. We need to understand. In the back of our minds, where on Sundays, you know, we get our education and we get our pens and our notepads out, understand the time, the very time that has been spoken about, because if we should read the book of Revelation, and we should understand that there would come a time when Satan himself would rule. I hope for those who are sleeping can wake up, because you know it's Sundays and we wake you up on this side of town. You see what's going on, people. my people perish for lack of knowledge. But not on a Sundays, because we give it away free here on Sundays. We just ask you to work with your pens and your pads and your books so that you can store this information for later days. And you pass it to your generation, for you have come to know and understand that the truth was being told here. But it's a time of the beast. It's the beast time. And there's nothing we can do about the beast time. You see what's happening. People are trying to land airplanes in the middle of the year. They are landing on their tails, nose in the air. I mean, it's a time whereby we see how wicked it has become. A man has gone into a bowling alley and he just decided he would kill a few people. So he killed 22, harm about 50, because that time has come. He eventually took care of his own self as well, because they need to kill and feed a demon that requires such souls and the blood that is there to feed. So we are speaking, yes, we are speaking demons tonight, because they are real, as well as we believe in angels. What do you think it is? If we have night, we have day, and so we have rain and we have sun and we have everything that is an opposite as well. So we talk about our great Father in heaven, yes, who created all things, and we understand the structure of things here because we are doing Sunday school. They walk among us every day. For those who can recognize and for those who find things a bit strange, it has become a bit strange because we have entered into a different time. We are now living in what we will call the beast system. This is a place where we are one step away from lawlessness. Can't you see what's going on? There's a war. They call it the Israel-Hamas war, but remember the churn of Ham. Remember the scriptures. It's Saturday, Sunday, and if we do Sunday school and decide to open your Bible and read the history and remember Ham, Shem and Japheth. It's a time where we see how one-sided it has been tilted, because we only find out how much thousands of one side of people that has been killed and the other set of people has been killed. If you open your mouth, you could be arrested. So who knows? It's Saturday, Sunday, but you know we try to uncover what is going on here. They shut me down 2 weeks ago because I said we're going to talk about the 12 tribes, and there I was put on some kind of community bam-bam where I was shut off for not observing some rules. I think I went into some kind of virtual jail or some foolishness. And they shut me down because I used the wrong words. You know those algorithms and that AI bot, I'm telling you, you'll be shaking your boots because they're coming for you. The AI, I swear, you say the wrong word, and that would not be nigger. You say something else, I'm telling you, you're in trouble. It can shut you down just like that. I have had the experience, I'm telling you. We make nothing up on this side of town because, you know, we give the truth. So here we are, we're understanding what time it is. It's a time whereby we are observing the very time, because we are just spectators now in this booth, because it's not our time has not come yet, because you see the fighting is with the two brothers and the cousins. They are busy killing each other down there, all because, again, of land greed and, of course, the ego, because who owns the strip? If we should say 65 years before now, we would see who was there, but then, as I say, it's not our business. Those are the cousins, you know. It's two brother children. Let them go ahead with themselves. We are deeper into the other part of the land, you know, the more prosperous part where there are gold, diamonds, and uranium, and they're trying to take it by the truckloads. But we have to be careful because we observe the time. May God bless Ibrahim Touré, the man in Burkina Faso, as we talk of this time. We say a prayer for our brother this time as well. And the uplifting, of course, of Mama Africa, for which the time has come, because 400 years has already passed, and we are here observing the time. Of course, we know time and place and everything, because we have seen that France has too busy run out of her, because they have asked them kindly to do so. So without further agenda, because the time, again, has come, and France could no longer twist and turn because her agenda has been discovered. Again, we speak of the agenda and the like-minded individuals. So we have seen the faults and the folly of the leaders of that world. Let us be mindful of what we want to do for our people. and if we should pick up the role of leadership, or the burden of leadership has been placed upon us, as has often been done to some of the very great leaders, let us understand that there's one alone that sits upon his throne who can judge us, who give us that strength for such leadership, give us that power under which we understand the love of people. It's impossible to love your nation without first understanding your purpose. Being trapped in this melanated skin is a certain purpose. It's an experience greater than those that have lacked the melanin, because the very melanin is a product of disaster if not know what to do with it or properly use it. It could be a very poison, and it can also be a blessing. But we are graced to have it, and for those of us who know how to use it and been placed in a position where we can excel, stretch our hand and pull the others up, let us be mindful, let us be careful of what burden it is to be called a leader. Again, one agenda, one thought, and as we say, one love. But we are coming to a very serious time, as I would not have you fool on this time on Sadie Sundays. You know how we do it. There's no folly on this side of town. A serious time is coming. I don't want, when you all see the sky is dark and you hear the sound of the helicopters, you wonder what time it is. But please be observant and prepare for the time that is upon us. There's nothing we can do about this time, because it has been written. We have heard of Gog and Magog, and we have understand scriptures. But when the time has come upon us, as I said, do not let the sky be dark and the helicopters be sounding in your ear before you understand what time it is. But we were warned to be get out of us, so let us secure ourselves as best as we can. But we know we probably have still a few bits of time before the actual time is upon us, so let us understand and share wisdom. For those who are here with us this evening, your mics are open. The floor is open onto you.
Oh my, I am hoping to.
I'll go right ahead. All mics are open. Go right ahead. Crystal,
yes,
Queen Alba. Parents, your mic is open.
Can you guys hear me?
Oh, yes, loud and clear.
Yes.
I was saying for the benefit of the sister who called, that the young man's name is Sadio Mene, and he is from Senegal, and he's the one that actually was laughed at with his broken iPhone screen, and he said he would much rather spend the money productively than waste it on a new iPhone. So I was just letting the young lady know that it's a footballer named Sadio Mane.
Yes, Queen, that was very good addition for information. I did so that news where he let you know the importance of a hungry child and not a broken cell phone glass. I was so proud of him with his conversation.
Definitely.
If someone in the background wants to join our conversation, you can come right up to the front. Come right up and let us know what's on your mind this evening. Well, Dr. Roberts, it's your turn that you should have a few minutes to come in. We are moving closely to the top of the hour, but we should give you time.
I would just say that we all know that the level of confusion that we're in right now, start. It was everything, all levels of confusion start someplace. And sometimes in our lives, we have to go to therapy or someplace to get a research to our historical background, where it all started during our childhood with our parents in the environment that we were living in. We have to go through that whole process to come forward where we're at now, to bring it to an existence of things that happened in the past that caused us to be where we at as an adult. The same thing I look at, I'm just using for an example, America. America started as a big confusion, not in the sense that they wasn't confused about what they were doing, but they created historical confusion to get where they, what they wanted. Okay, when they enslaved people and brought them here, they started this whole level of historical confusion. They started a whole history of confusion. They started to tell one lie, another lie, to cover up another lie, to cover up another lie, and then the history became distorted because they had to create nonsense to make some sense out of the reality of what would really happen to human beings in this country. The human being that it happened to, I was telling some brothers and sisters who, like myself, all we know is generation, generation, generation of enslavement and being in this America for 400 years. And the brother was saying that the Bible says after 400 years, back in 2019, the 400 years when God said that because you disobeyed me, you're going to be in a foreign land, you're going to be a slave, and you're going to call this other people master, and you're going to a foreign land. But after 400 years, I will free thee, and the first will be last, and last will be first, and the slave would be the master would be the slave. And so the brother was saying 2019, according to his historical understanding of biblical timing, the slave ended in America 400 years in 2019. And so the slave was free. And now that the slave had to realize, like the children of Israel, when they were delivered out of Egypt, they had to realize they were in paradise for a purpose, and they didn't understand it. So where we at now is this. The confusion is this. People don't understand that when America say, put your hand on your heart and plead allegiance to America, when America say, sing the national anthem, that is a form of indoctrination. That's a form of mind control. That's a form of making you subservient to a flag, to a song, to a country, to a president, to a government. The confusion is what people don't understand is, and all these black, African-American, whatever, performers get up and they say, oh, you know what, halftime at the Super Bowl, you can come on in and you can sing the national anthem. All of them try to sing it so eloquently. All of them try to sing it so beautifully. All of them try to make it sound like the song is holier than thy. It's a song from God. And this year, at the football game, my wife's cousin too, and I forgot her name. She sung the Negro anthem, and it was a big deal that everybody was saying, oh, why you have to sing that? Why y'all singing that? Why y'all not singing the national anthem of America? Why you're not, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I say that to say this. The psychological effect, the psychosis for African-American people is that we are made to love, made to praise, made to honor, made to sing, made to worship a flag, a song, a country that did us wrong. It's like somebody molested somebody when they was a child, or a man abused his wife, or a child was abused by their parents, and they're reluctantly pushed to love them and not deal with the agony and the pain of their suffering. That's psychological damaging. And when I look at the children today, when I look at the society today, when I look at America today, I see this psychological damaging that happened to us, and we seem not to be able to deal with it. But at the same token, I see here the man himself is here who created all these wonderful things, and we don't have him a lot of time, so I'm going to bring him on in. Dr. James W. Winborn, another King Winborn. We're gonna bring him in to the show. Give him a nice win, as you guys always do.
Greetings, everybody. I'm just here listening to all the wisdom, trying to multitask. That's why I'm late, but I'm here and taking it all in. So I continue, Dr. Robinson.
And I also, you know, I think I said all I could say, but I want to let 214-584, your mic is open, 214-584, give you the final word. 214-584, your mic is open. You want to say something, 214-584? Maybe you got to unmute yourself. 214-584. Your mic is open. You can unmute yourself. You can say something.
Welcome to the show, 214.
Maybe 214. I don't have anything to say right now.
No.
Okay, so I'm going to wrap it up. What I was saying, 214-584, I guess you want to hear what I have to say. Well, what I was saying is this. I'm just talking about African-American people right now in terms of the conditioning in America. When somebody make you bow down to your abuser, to your molester, to the vile person that hurt you, it's psychological conditioning, but it's damaging. And the damage that we're facing right now is that when you sing the national anthem, when you put your hand on your heart and you praise this government, this flag, you are damaging yourself if you don't recognize the ill-fated feeling that you have for it and you don't talk about it. And I saw a brother, I love the brother Deion Sanders, took over Colorado University, whatever, the football team there. And then he said he don't want nobody, you know, kneeling or nobody not singing the national anthem. And he don't understand the damage. They don't understand the damage of that. A lot of damage is going on. So we have to go rehearse and understand what history started, what was the damaging thing that started in history that got us to this point. And we have to undo it. We have to realize that it's damaging and that we cannot sit. I personally cannot sit and kneel I cannot sing the national anthem. I cannot praise this America, understanding the damages that have been done to me. I have to talk up against the damages and heal from that first, and then I can move on.
Can I say something? 214. This 214. Can I speak?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I didn't come at the beginning, so. Of all things, we have to get understanding. You can't just jump in because we hear something we want to hear or don't want to hear. But the bottom line is there's power. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. So you can choose what you speak. You can choose if you put your hand on your chest and repeat what man say. What's the most powerful thing is what God says about you. Now, black people didn't even know they were free to how many years? 400 years. My thing is if you ever want to keep anything away from a Negro, put in a book because they don't like to read. We could talk about it, but my question to you is now that you express how you feel, what is your solution, sir?
My solution is that I empower myself with that which you said, that I am what God said I am. And I know who I am and whose I am and who I am following. Have one logistical presence in which you follow, which is the spirit of God that have given unto me light, that made me a prince, made me who I am, made me the man who I am. Irregardless of what man try to do, God turns around and make it for good. Because going through South Carolina and living through the Jim Crow laws and picking cotton and going through all that hell, it made me so strong that nobody can tear me down today. And my children and my grandchildren, every child that I ever come in contact with, brother or sister, I can embed into them some knowledge of power that's been given to me because of my experiences.
Okay, well, share with me. I need some encouragement.
Well,
share your experience. We already know the problem. I want to hear the solution.
Well, I only got a couple of minutes, but and this is same mm-hmm. show. My show is on Friday night. You and you're welcome to come. Same telephone number, same time. But I'll say this very quickly within seconds. One day I walked on the porch. I'm from a little town in South Carolina called Allendale, South Carolina. I woke up on the porch mm-hmm. and I just was sick at 9 years old. I was just tired of things I didn't understand. But I said to my mom, I said, Mama, she was doing something with the peas, getting ready for dinner. I said, Mama, I'm not going to be nobody's nigga. I'm going to be rich and I'm going to be smart. And my mother hugged me and she said, Baby, anything you want to be, with God's help, you can be. And I started college when I was 15. I got a PhD at 21, 22. I don't remember now, so many years ago. And I made my first million at 18. The power of God, the power of words, feelings, and the power of reflections. And I like to, you know, I had my faults and I had my down things, but I continued to thrive in the name of the Creator. Thank you so much. Sister Sadie.
Yes, Dr. Robinson, I must thank you because we have 1 minute, and I know you have 1 hour of conversation with this wonderful lady, but please join us again next week, Sunday at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Sister, we are so wonderful to have you, and there's so much things that I myself would have liked to tell you as well and share with you, but we are coming to the top of the hour where we must go because we have a few seconds. It's counting down on us, and it's to the point where we just want to say good night.
Good night.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been.
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry.